This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us today. The time of transition continues in Milwaukee Public Schools. The state's largest school district is looking for a new superintendent after the announcement earlier this year that Gregory Thornton is leaving to run the public school system in Baltimore. Meanwhile, the district continues to look for ways to improve the academic performance of its students with the unique challenges of the school choice environment and resources that are already stretched thin. But some also see this transitional period as an opportunity for MPS. Earlier this week, several thought leaders in public education talked about that opportunity in Milwaukee. Paul Hill is founder of the Center for Reinventing Public Education at the University of Washington, Bothell. Michael Casserly is executive director of the Council for Great City Schools in Washington, D.C., a group comprised of leaders of large school districts around the country. We caught up with them at Marquette University Law School. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Let me ask you both a question here. We tend to look at our own district, if not in a vacuum, certainly with some blinders on in regard to other large cities. While the specific details might be different, would you imagine, are the issues facing a district like Milwaukee emblematic of a general crisis facing urban education?
I think that problems facing Milwaukee are pretty common among a lot of big cities, and the big problem is low-income and minority students are not learning what they need, and there's a definite crisis in their lives and a crisis for our country to change that. It's possible that districts could go on a long way this way. So whether it's a crisis that will cause action remains to be seen. But certainly, if we care about the stakes for those children in our country, it's a crisis.
Yeah, I haven't spent a whole lot of time recently studying the program here in the Milwaukee public schools or in the city of Milwaukee. It's pretty clear to me that the challenges that the schools in Milwaukee face are very similar to the challenges that other big cities across the country face. So in that way, it is facing many of the same issues that other big cities are facing.
Paul Hill, one of the ideas you and your organization work in is this notion of the portfolio school district model. How does that approach differ from what school districts have typically done?
The idea of a portfolio district is that it wants to get good schools any way it can. It's willing to run them in the traditional way if that will work, but if it's not working, it wants to look outside for charter operators or anybody else that can run a school. And it also is looking for all the talent in the locality, understanding that there are artists, musicians, scientists, and organizations that could actually help in the work of the schools that have been cut out. So the portfolio is in. Wants results, is indifferent how they get them, is just looking for the best combination, and wants to draw the talent of the community into the school district.
Is there one particular oversight model that a portfolio district works within?
Portfolio district often acts like a charter authorizer in that it tries to create a level playing field among its schools so none is failing just because it's been under-resourced, and then ask which ones are gaining, where are kids doing better than average, where are kids doing a lot worse, and then looking on the bad side, what can be done about those schools? Can a marginal improvement make a big difference for them? Are we sure that's true? Or do we have to go outside our normal experience and look for a different way of doing things?
The portfolio in Milwaukee would seem to be especially large. Traditional public schools, MPS charters, charters held by outside groups, private voucher schools. Is it possible to put someone in charge of oversight for a portfolio like that and get buy-in from all the disparate groups?
Well, it's certainly possible to put somebody in charge of it. That's happened by mayoral takeovers and other state action. In D.C., the mayor is trying to assert some responsibility for the overall situation that's almost as complex as this. But it isn't clear that any of the stakeholders are sure to like this. The district, the providers of voucher schools and charter providers are all doing fairly well in their own lanes, and there may be some kickback on that. And the issue to get the portfolio mentality into a locality is to start thinking about, are we doing the best we can for the kids? Not how do we preserve this institution or that institution or this set of contractual rights. As long as those are on the front of the table, the conflicts are too harsh to make progress. If you ask, is this the most we can do for our kids, you get a different answer.
Yeah, this is where Paul and I may disagree at least a little bit here, and I would put somewhat more emphasis on not the multiplicity of providers, because I think you can have low performance in any number of different through any number of different providers. I think the issue is rests more around what it is you can do to improve the overall instructional experience and academic experience for the kids, and have that experience result in better outcomes for the kids. Now, I think Paul would do that through multiple providers. But I'm not necessarily convinced that having multiple providers results in that. And I think my preference would almost be to focus on the provision of instruction more directly than to do it so indirectly by expanding the number and type of providers.
Well, and let me ask you, Michael Casterly, the organization you head, one of the things it does is bring together the superintendents from large urban school districts. MPS is in the early stages of seeking its next superintendent, and districts sometimes look at a decision like this as an opportunity to make a bold statement. What is your sense for the gravity of a decision like this? How much depends on the process of choosing a new superintendent?
Well, this is probably the most important decision that the Board of Education and the city itself and its citizenry will make. I mean, the superintendent doesn't have control over everything, nor should the superintendent have control over everything, but the superintendent is a major player in shaping the instructional program and other offerings of the and services provided by the school district, and helping the board define the overall direction of the school district. So the decision that the city and its elected Board of Education faced is one of the most important that any community will face in the course of its life.
I agree. And it isn't just getting the right person. It's getting the agreement to found that person's work. So many localities just look for a person with the right attributes, and they don't have any agreement in advance about what strategy they want to pursue. And basically, a superintendent who comes in with no agreement on what his goals are and what his strategy is going to be, but has to kind of persuade the board from scratch once he's hired, is already on the way out. And if the board agrees on any strategy, and that I don't only mean the one I'd like, any strategy, and the superintendent and they jointly agree to implement it, then there's a chance for partnership. But so often boards individually have their own image of what the superintendent will do, and they never agree on it, and that's the death for anybody.
Michael Casterly, what's your sense for can a superintendent come in and affect change, or does the change have to be happening and it's a reflection of who they pick as superintendent?
Well, I don't think it's really an either or. And to Paul's point, and I think he's absolutely right about the description that he just offered, it's really important that a Board of Education be clear about its overall direction for the school district. Where is the school district going? Where does it want to be? What are the major challenges it's going to be facing, and then find themselves a superintendent who will take them there and can address the challenges that the board knows it's going to be dealing with over the next few years, rather than just hiring somebody because they have a good track record someplace else, or they have a national reputation, or something else. Finding a good fit, a good match between where the school system wants to go, where the city wants to go, and the skills of the individual they bring in to run their schools is an important part of the selection process.
Well, and as you've both mentioned, different superintendents have different powers in different districts. But do you see – are there commonalities to what the best superintendents bring to the task?
I think superintendents have to know something about instruction. They have to know how the organization works. But they're also major political figures and one of the most important public figures in town. They need to be able to gain the confidence of parents and the foundations in the business community. And in Milwaukee, I would think that you'd want a superintendent who is able to reach out to the charter and voucher operators and parents and say, you know, we're all in this together, we're all for this for the kids, and even create as much as possible voluntary collaborations if you can't do more than that.
I think the answer to this question, at least for the Milwaukee Public Schools, not for the other provider groups, is that this question is really best answered by the Board of Education and its reading of where it is they want to take the school district next, what the school district needs, what the kids need in the school district to thrive and produce a productive future, and then go out and find somebody who can help get them to the place that they envision.
The situation in Milwaukee, I suspect, is similar to a lot of other large urban districts in that the city is fairly overwhelmingly Democratic politically within a state that is, if not overwhelmingly, certainly narrowly Republican. Is it too much to expect that in a big city within a state, a big state, you can get a school board, a superintendent, a teachers union, and a legislature all on the same page and pulling the oars in the same direction?
It's a lot to expect, but it's been done. Today we've had a lot of conversation about Cleveland, but there a Democratic mayor in a completely Democratic city made common cause with a governor to get a legislative package that made it possible for the city to get off its dime. And those are all possible if all the parties think of this as about the kids and the future of the city and not about the spoil system.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think one of the great luxuries that we have in education is that so much of the field is really bipartisan. I mean, there are elements that are partisan, but the broad swath of conversations and issues that we take up have a great deal of bipartisan agreement. And when we are all trying to pull together on behalf of the kids, then I think setting partisan politics aside is a good thing and is something that education actually has an advantage on relative to other fields. But Paul's mention of Cleveland, and that's a Democratic city with a Democratic mayor, and I think most of the members of the city council are probably Democrats as well, but they have a Republican governor, and they all work together very closely in terms of fashioning what they call the Cleveland Plan and coming up with an overall game plan and blueprint that they were going to pursue to move the school system forward.
I have two recommendations. One, obviously people have to park any of their gotcha moments at the door, and they should never read blogs.
Amen.
Well, that's a perfect note to end on. Michael Casserly and Paul Hill, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Casserly is Executive Director of the Council of Great City Schools based in Washington, D.C. Paul Hill is founder of the Center for Reinventing Public Education based in Washington State. They were in Milwaukee this week for a forum at Marquette Law School, and we spoke with them there. We'll learn more about a promising technique in treating spinal cord injuries when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.